Nice to see you all this morning. So this morning's going to be a little different, and in the fact that we're going to spend some time in prayer for the China mission trip that's heading out. They're heading out in a little less than 3 weeks, and they will be there for about 10 days. And so we're going to spend some time praying for them and just kind of getting a little glimpse of what it looks like there and what they'll be doing. My name is Dove, if I haven't met you, one of the pastors here. I'm kind of off the hook because I don't have to like preach a big sermon this morning, so that's kind of fun too. Maybe for you guys too, but anyways. I was just really touched by worship this morning, appreciating the sufficiency of God in Christ. I wanted to just start with some prayer. You could pray with somebody next to you, or if you would prefer just to sit silently and pray yourself. But I was just kind of reflecting on, there's some things that are ours, and then there's some things that are God's. And sometimes we're so concerned about the things that aren't even ours. They're God's. And sometimes we don't even take care of the things that are ours. And just think about, what is mine and what is God's? And how can I honor what God has asked of me and then entrust to Him what is His? So this morning, I don't know what burdens you have in your life. I was talking with somebody this morning, just life just keeps throwing stuff at us, you know, and it just keeps coming. So we're just going to take a little bit of time, just short time, and it's just kind of a time to dump any burdens you have, a time to ask God for help in places that you need, and just to kind of get your heart in a spot where just of trust what He's doing. So I'm going to give you guys about a minute. Feel free to pray with the person next to you or on your own and then continue. Amen, God. God, You know each one of our burdens and things that we carry. You know our hurts and our joys. Thank You for knowing each one of us so intimately and desiring to be known by us. God, we ask You to move this morning. We ask You to be at work in China. Continue Your amazing work there in power and truth. And God, we commit the team to You this morning that's going and ask that You would just hear our prayers as we ask You to use them and to take care of them, to keep them united and that they would grow from this time. We love You, God, in Jesus' name. So this morning, as we go through this, there's kind of three prayers that I want to lay out, kind of my hope for this morning. The first is for God's love and power to be at work in our Chinese brothers and sisters. And so we're going to get a little snapshot and kind of see what's going on there. The second is just for God to help and make a difference through that team that's going to China in less than 3 weeks. And then finally, even though kind of the focus isn't on us here, but my desire this morning is just that each one of us would grow in faith and that God would kind of give us a greater dose of faith this morning. And so I'm going to start and just hand it over to Jason. I guess before Jason comes, we have 16 people signed up, including some kids. If you are signed up to go on the mission trip in 3 weeks, would you guys stand up just so we kind of know who's part of this group? All right, so here's some of them. There's others scattered around in here in different places, but 16, and we appreciate you guys' faith to go. And yeah, Jason, you want to come up and just kind of tell us about your experience in China and as you like, so.
Good morning, everybody. As Dove said, my name is Jason Deep Taylor. My wife, Camel, and I were 3 years ago, we ended up moving to China. So basically what happened is, I was at work, and the guy in the office next to me had literally just gotten back from an expat assignment in China. I was talking about it a lot and just really kind of felt God moving in my heart. Went home, was talking to Kamala, and said, hey, what do you think about, you know, possibly moving to China? And she kind of looked at me and she said, I was thinking about China too. And so I was like, oh, that's a pretty good sign that, you know, God wants us to go. So we spent about a couple years working with kind of my company and working out logistics and what positions would be, et cetera, et cetera. And the company I work for even today, they moved us over to China. So this was in 2011, April 2011. And it was one of those things where we were taking a step of faith. We had really no idea what God had in store for us or what the journey would be like. And you go over there and you think to yourself, well, I'm going to make this big difference and, you know, we're going to make an impact for God and be able to witness to all these people. And there was some of that, yes. But there was more of a heart change for us. It was really 3 years of God working on us and changing us and showing us his love. And because we called it our 3-year fast, right? It's 3 years of going over there. We didn't have a car. We drove a moped. You know, I used to park my moped between like a Ferrari and a Bentley. Like it was a very humbling time, right? So there's no Western food. There's no Dr. Pepper, right? Like all of these things that you really just, you know, build your identity in are just kind of all washed away. And so we called it our fast, right? It was our 3-year fast over there. And just, you can imagine what God does to you in that time. And then on top of that, our church there was really, everybody in that church was pretty much a missionary. And so we went to, what's like an international church. And so you had to be able to show some kind of ID to go in, because of the witnessing rules and laws in China. We weren't allowed to invite Chinese nationals. So there were some that would kind of come. But for the most part, it was foreigners. But so in this church, it was a church of missionaries. So, I mean, you can imagine it's about this size, this group of people, where every single person there has taken a huge step of faith and decided to go live internationally in China. And so just the network of friends and people there was just huge on us. It was a huge impact. So while we were there, about 2012, we got in touch with the Home of Hope. And the Home of Hope is ran by Ben and Michelle Goddard. They are a Christian organization unknown to the Chinese government, right? But they're Christian-based. And so they run this orphanage called the Home of Hope. And you'll get to see a video here in a little bit that kind of really shows what life is like for them there. They've been in China, is it 10 years now? Yeah, I think it's 10 years. It's them and their 3 sons. And they have 34 kids at this point. And so you can imagine life with 34 kids. And now of those 34 kids, like 8 of them are teenagers. So they're going through all of the things that parents go through when you've got teenagers and kids, and but multiplied by, you know, 34. And then the complexities of life in China in a small town village. So anyways, we became really good friends with Ben and Michelle. We work very closely with them. Pretty much have a call with them once a week to just kind of minister to them and talk to them. They're the only foreigners in this very small village of 1 million people in China. They're kind of alone out there, right? And so it's them and the love of Christ and just really trying to make an impact on the community there. So for them, it's not just about the kids, but it's also about witnessing to the government leaders, witnessing to the people of China and this small village and really making an impact and showing them what the love of Christ looks like. In addition to that, there's another organization called Starfish, Starfish Project. It's a ministry to exploited women. Starfish basically rescues women from exploitation. They walk right into the massage parlors and they start to build up relationships with these girls until the point where the girls feel comfortable enough to kind of make the jump and escape and go work for them. And so Starfish basically runs a jewelry company. They design, produce, market, sell the jewelry. And so they give positions of employment to these girls that they rescue. They teach them life skills that they've never, you know, some of them it's how to read and write. Some of them it's how to use a computer, how to use Excel, Microsoft Word. Then they teach them marketing skills. They teach them design skills, production skills, inventory management, supply chain management, purchasing, procurement, all of these different things that go into this industry, and these girls learn these skills. So that basically after 1 to 2 years, depending on each individual, they've got enough skills to go into the real marketplace and have continuing careers and support their families. They've had a huge success rate. So usually people that work in this industry of saving exploited women, they have about a 60 to 80% success rate. Meaning that, you know, 20 to 40% of the girls usually go back into the exploitation industry. In Starfish, they have only had 1 girl in the several years of their operation ever go back. So they're 99% plus in saving these girls. And so it's just a really great ministry. Every day they have a morning Bible study, a morning kind of prayer session together just to introduce them. Because they are a Chinese government company, technically, they have to be very careful about that. But they're very open, and they've got dorms set up for the girls, and so they go minister to the dorms there as well. And so it's just a really neat organization that's doing a lot of good in the world. So our plan is to go to China to see these 2 organizations, spend time with them, spend time with the kids, spend time with the girls that are coming out of exploitation. and really just minister to them, share with them, love on them, and encourage them. So we're really excited. China's got a very special place in our hearts to Kamala and I. So I'm really glad that you're getting to see the videos today, this morning. I just ask that you continue to be prayer for us and a continued prayer for China and all of the different missionaries and organizations over there.
Right. Thanks, Jason. Yeah, it's cool to see God be able to use Jason's skills in like all the supply chain management, all this stuff I have no clue about that he studied, and be able to bring it to missions and their family, your heart. You guys have been a blessing to us, and thanks for leading that. If you have questions, we're going to do Q&A at the end. So I know some of you guys are like, wow. And the first question is, no, it's too late to sign up. You can't go. Because as soon as you hear about it, you're like, man, I want to go. But you can't. So next time. What we're going to do this morning is we're going to use one of the books of the Bible, 1 Thessalonians, as just kind of model for prayer. And so this guy, Paul, had this radical encounter with Jesus. He was this Jewish scholar, and his life got totally changed. And he started going all over the world and talking to people about Jesus and kind of starting churches. And so he came to this Greek city of Thessalonica. And he was there and he went to the Jewish synagogues and he was talking to people. And some people started to put their faith in Christ. And some Jews and Greeks started to come together and to become believers. And the people there did not like that. And they basically chased him out of the city. And so he fled during the night and took off. And he left and went to some other cities. And so then Paul is going to write a letter and write a letter back to these guys. And he hears of the persecution they're going through. And anyone who has faith in Christ will have a certain amount of persecution. Indeed, our brothers and sisters in China do as well. And so he's writing to them in the midst of that saying, keep going, like endure. And I like it because he's got some just really specific prayers in there. And so if you want to follow along in your Bibles, it's 1 Thessalonians. And we're just going to kind of do a few sections of prayers. And so the first section, just starting at the beginning, I'm sorry, 2 Thessalonians, not 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians. All right, and no, I think this is a typo. Is it 2 Thessalonians or 1st? This is 2nd? Alright, I hope this is right. Yeah, I think it's 2nd. I do make typos, I'm sorry. 2 Thessalonians 1:3 says, we ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love all of you have for one another is increasing. Among God's churches, we boast about your perseverance and faith in all the persecutions and trials you are enduring. What a cool prayer. So he's acknowledging what they're going through. He's appreciating and giving thanks. And so I've asked a few different folks, well, they volunteered, to pray for different sections. And so I'm just going to pray for this first one. And on your paper, there's just kind of some bullet points, and I highlighted some words in these verses as well. But just thanking God for their faith, that it's growing and that their love is increasing, and that their endurance and faith through these hardships is impressive. It's inspiring to us. So why don't we just give thanks? God, thank you for what you're doing in China. I thank you for Ben and Michelle and the folks at Starfish. Thank you for the team. Thank you for their faith. Thank you that you are sustaining their faith and growing them. Thank you that you continue to increase their love, even as they go through trials, even as they're persecuted, mistreated, or hated. Thank you that you increase their love. Thank you, God, that you are the giver of love and faith and good things. Thank you for what you're doing, God. Thank you for this team. Thank you for the privilege of sending them. Thank you for the opportunity that they have. Thank you, God. You are such a mighty, amazing God. Thank you for what you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen. The next prayer starts in verse 11. And this is a prayer that I think is really profound, and sometimes pray it for other people. So Paul says, with this in mind, we constantly pray for you, that our God may make you worthy of his calling, and that by his power, he may bring to fruition your every desire for goodness and your every deed prompted by faith. And so if we look at that, first he's saying, we pray that God would make you worthy of this calling that you have, that God would do that work, make you worthy of this tremendous calling in Jesus. And then the second part, by his power may he bring to fruition the things that you do in faith, may they be empowered by God's supernatural power. And maybe it's because I was a science teacher. I think of like science stuff, but I think of lightning. I don't know if you guys know about lightning, but the way lightning strikes is it doesn't just come straight from the ground, straight from the sky to the ground, but there's actually like a beginning spark that comes from the ground, and then the one from the sky comes and meets it. Boom. And I feel like that's how it is in our lives sometimes. We step out in faith with just a small amount of what we have to give, and then God's supernatural power meets that, boom, and makes it into this tremendous thing. And that's what the prayer is. The prayer is that what you walk in, what you do, this little act of faith going to China, that God would take that little step and make it extremely powerful, make it bigger than it could ever be on our own. And then he continues, we pray this so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Not so that everybody be like, wow, you are amazing. But like, whoa, God is amazing. Our Lord Jesus is amazing, what he can accomplish through a simple act of faith. And so, Kevin, if you would pray in that vein. Amen. Thanks, Kevin. All right, we're going to watch a short video. Well, it's not super short. We're going to watch a video of the Home of Hope. So it is a little bit older. I don't know what year the video's from. So they have more kids now than it says. And it's not all just making cookies anymore. It's like dealing with teenage hormones. But you still get the flavor of what it's like to have 30 kids. And just a cool picture of faith in Ben and Michelle and what they're doing in China. So,
I'm Ben. This is Michelle. We're the Goddards. We are from America. We've lived in China since February 2007. We have 26 children, 14 boys and 12 girls. We help left behind children. It's an orphanage, but our goal is to have a home, not an orphanage.
When we first started to open the orphanage, we talked to the government and asked them, did they know about any orphans? And they said, yeah, there's 1,000 orphans in this city.
All the Chinese children call me daddy and her mommy. We tell them, we're not taking the place of your baba and mama, which is in Chinese. We're just your American mommy and daddy. So they call us that.
Mommy, excuse me, excuse me.
You could just say it really fast. Excuse me.
Excuse me.
Yeah, sounds silly. Say, excuse me.
Excuse me.
Say it faster.
Excuse me.
Excuse me.
Excuse me.
That sounds good.
Yeah, we get kind of pulled a lot, you know, having, 29 kids because of our own 3 boys. So everyone wants the individual attention.
This was a lot easier to do when they were smaller.
All of our children have family members One boy's name is Frank. His aunt came and said if we didn't take him, she was going to throw him on the road. And she lives 8 hours. She's dropped him off a year and a half ago and has never been back. He cannot be adopted because she is alive. So if any kid has any living relative, they cannot be adopted, so they're left behind. And that's what we specialize in.
Having young boys, this is very good timing for us to be able to help a lot of young children because we're young and have a lot of energy, and our boys would be able to adapt.
When we started, all the children we got were between the ages of our youngest son and our oldest son. So our three sons are right in the same ages as all of our children, so that helps, I guess. And also we make sure we give our sons their own personal time so they're not feeling completely neglected compared to the other kids.
We have to make sure that, you know, God blessed us with three boys, and we have to take care of them first and make sure that their needs are met. And we obviously just try to do things that involve them with the children.
But the cool thing is our home is, like, pretty much one long hallway because we're all one floor, so we're all very close. You know, we just have to open our front door because our hallway's connected to their hallway, so.
It's just part of our home.
Yeah.
Plus, I'm a daddy of 30 kids, so, you know, that's pretty good.
We might age faster.
Well, obviously missing family is the downside.
Yeah, big downside.
I have four sisters and two brothers, so we come with a very big family. And two of my sisters had children that, you know, before we saw them, they were already 1-2 years old. So that makes it a little bit harder, but it's worth it. If you look at like Anna, Jake, and Joy, they actually have parents, but they're both mentally handicapped, and we're abusing them. Jake and Joey were 3. Anna was 6. And we saw Jake and Joey, they had claw marks running down their back from their mom. And then Anna would say, oh, my dad never abused me. I'm like, well, what did he do if you didn't listen to him? He punched me in the head. I'm like, oh, that's, you know, so we had to go do a little bit of counseling with her. And, you know, so any downside of missing my family is, you know, it's worth missing my family to be able to save them from any harm, you know.
There are some terrible stories, but more so you'll see that the Chinese people don't want to give their grandkids away, but they have no other help. And so when they come give them to us, you know, we've had just grandparents come up and hug us, just say, thank you so much, you know, you don't understand. We don't understand how much they've helped us, you know. And Thomas is one story where his grandfather, we met him at first, he was very sick. He could hardly get up out of bed. He was just so bad. We asked him how much money he had per month, and it was 50 UN, which that's what, a little less than $10 American dollars a month. That was to feed him and Thomas, you know, a growing 4-year-old boy. Since we brought Thomas in, now the grandfather is able to use that money for himself to eat and has gotten stronger and is actually able to come once a month to visit Thomas, and you know, he's a lot better. So it's very, very awesome to be a part of not only helping kids, but they're also helping their families.
Oh, I love what I do. I mean, my dad has always told me that if you love your job, you never work a day in your life, and I've never worked since I came to China. So from the time I wake up to the time I go to bed, I serve children that had never, you know, some of them would never have survived past the age of 10. You know, their situations were pretty bad. Some of them, if they did survive, they would have never made a positive impact on the society, and they are already doing that.
You know, to think that, you know, this is our job, being here, playing every day, and, you know, if I could color for 5 hours every Saturday, that would be my great job. You know, it's just, I make cookies, and yeah. I'm loved.
Do you think you'll be here forever?
I hope so. I just asked the government to sign a 50-year contract with me, and they laughed at me. So they said they can't sign that long of a year.
You know, we've taken these kids who parents have run away, or mom has run away, or parents have both died, or, you know, their aunt just doesn't want them. You know, for us to say in 5 years, okay, we're going back to America, somebody else is going to come take care of you, that just,
they need to have
that
stability.
Seems harsh. We kind of just hope for the best for all of them. You know, it'd be amazing if they could all go to college, just because to get a good job in China, you have to go to college. There may be some kids that can't because they're not that good at taking tests, they're not really good at school, then in that case they'll go to maybe like a vocational high school. Really just hoping that they'll succeed as much as possible and have a lot of opportunities.
It's kind of cool that my oldest son has already told me that he's going to take over for us when we're older. So he's
30 planning for our retirement.
Our hope is this will last for as long as it's needed. Now, which it's kind of a dumb thing to hope that you need this orphanage here for a long time, but you know, as long as the need is here, we hope
that the
home will be here.
Like I said again, sorry, it's too late to sign up if you haven't signed up. There's something cool about the faith there, that simple faith empowered by God. And just to encourage all of us, you might not ever start an orphanage with your life, but just God is able to empower simple acts of faith. And just as we trust and step out, and He empowers it. And so the next prayer, 2:16, may our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God our Father, who loved us and by His grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. And so, what a cool prayer. God who loved us and gives grace, may He encourage your hearts. And it's easy to become weary and to become tired and lose sight of why things are happening. May God continue to give strength in every good deed and word, empower those good deeds and words, and encourage their hearts. And so we're going to pray that for our brothers and sisters in China and also for the team. So John is going to, thanks John. Thanks, John. How cool. That's so cool. Just that God empowers and strengthens. I think Jason might share more, but he said Ben is, that's kind of on his heart. And so Jason and Ben connect weekly, right? And he's saying, hey, keep praying for endurance with these teenagers and all that's going on and, you know, finding a new place and stuff. So anyways, just we need God's strength and He gives us strength. All right, as this letter to the Thessalonians continues, then there's another prayer. This is a short one. It's really powerful. May the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance. Both of those are such a cool thing. Christ's perseverance to keep going. That perseverance that Christ had to keep going all the way to the cross, knowing what's ahead, and that love of God that enables us to walk on that with joy and not just start biting or hating people, but to walk in love. And so, yeah, our prayer in that, may the Lord direct their hearts into God's love, that rich love for those that don't even deserve it, but an overflowing love and Christ's perseverance. And so Drew is going to pray for this one. All right. That's awesome. It's a small world. Yeah. I was waiting for you to say you knew him or, like, knew somebody in China there. See that kid? Okay. It really is a small world. How amazing, that abundant love of God that doesn't run out. So patient and generous, forgiving. We're going to watch another video. This is from Starfish, and I really like even just the name Starfish. You guys may have heard the story. There's a little kid walking down the beach, and the tide has brought in a whole bunch of starfish, and they're just like all over the beach, and they're just dying in the sun because there's no way for them to get back into the ocean. And so this little kid is walking along, and he's picking up starfish and throwing them out into the ocean as far as he can. And this older guy comes walking by in his wisdom. What are you doing, son? Like, there's no way. Like, there's thousands of starfish over this, along this beach. There's no way you can make a difference. And he picks up a starfish and says, I just made a difference for that one. And so that's where starfish comes from. We might not be able to make a difference in everybody, but we can make a difference in that one. So.
I came from a really poor family in the countryside. I was often beaten as a child, and I didn't go to school because girls aren't worth much where I come from. When I was 14, I left my village and was sent by my family to the city. I needed to find work to support them as we had no money. My friends told me I could get a job working in a hair salon, but when I arrived, I realized I had been tricked into something I never intended to do.
去当我进入那个店子，我以为是正规的一些理发店，但是不是。为什么会进去，我就是因为这样，不知道情况。来看到那些男的话，这个整个人都在发抖，属于发抖状态，一个礼拜就是那种神经绷得紧紧的，心跳加快，就走路你拿着东西，手都在发抖，就那种状态。然后就后面慢慢的就迷失，然后就想着不知道为什么就是要活着，想着可能真的是就是那样，如果一个人就那样死去的话，可能就什么都不用想了，也不会有那么多痛苦跟压力。
At night, I often walk down the streets and see the lights of the massage parlors. When I first heard about what was happening to the girls inside, I couldn't believe it was that bad. People walk by all the time, and they have no idea what's going on behind those doors. We started visiting the shops and making friends with the women. It was risky, but we needed to do something to help the girls. So we opened a shelter and gave a chance for the women to start over.
I think when I came here,
我发现我自己是有价值的人，我的生活跟完全都不一样了。我在这个地方能感受到那种爱，是我很小时候一直到长这么大都没有的。生活有了目标，充满了希望，每天都很有动力。我感觉亲密之旅特别的好。能不能改变呢？
在亲密之旅中学了好几课，都和我的同事处理矛盾。我觉得我的梦想就是在海星慢慢的成长，去帮助更多的女孩子，能够让她们知道自己是有价值的，不是没有价值，然后用自己的身体去赚钱这样的。所以我们就想鼓励她们走出来，用她们自己的双手去做一份新的工作，找到自己的未来。
When the women come to our shelter, many still need to provide for their families. So we started a jewelry business, where they not only can earn a good income, but have the opportunity to learn business skills. The profits from our sales provide for the women in our shelter. This includes their housing, medical care, education, salaries, and vocational training. Become a part of the Starfish team. We need your time and energy to make a difference in the lives of others. Here are some ideas of how to get involved. Join our independent rep program. Host a jewelry party. Wear our products and tell the story. For more information and to see our products, visit www.starfish-project.com.
Cool stuff. I think it's kind of neat that Sherry brought some jewelry this morning, which is not from Starfish, but from another organization who's doing something similar of just trying to get women out of trafficking and out of those situations. And so, amazing opportunity. Those today are free if anybody wants to grab one and pray for the woman on it. And as well, Starfish, just be in prayer for them. I imagine there's a certain amount of risk for the women as well as the leaders of that. Just, there's obviously people that don't like them leaving. And so, how cool that God's love would flow into that situation. How cool to hear a woman say, I didn't know my life had any worth. And then to hear every morning in these counseling sessions, full of the Bible, these counseling sessions, you have value. Your life is worth something. And her saying, I want to pass this on to somebody else. So they know they have worth too. They are not worthless. God's love proves, God's love tells me I have value. What a beautiful thing. Our final prayer from 2 Thessalonians in 3:16 says, Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with all of you. May the Lord of peace give you peace. Even in the midst of life with its ups and downs and things that get thrown at us, may we find peace through the God who gives peace because he is with us. And definitely I'm sure the team is going to have some challenges along the way amongst each other and with the situation. They're probably going to be encounter some food that they don't really want to eat. Who knows? Different challenges as well. But may God give peace. That's, and as well to our Chinese brothers and sisters in here. And so, Jason, if you want to pray for this one. Amen. All right, so as some of you guys know, every 2 months we're doing just like a different project or person to give to. So on Tuesday at the Fiesta is the last day to give to these two organizations in China. So the idea is just beyond your normal giving. If you have extra giving you would like to give on the envelope, if you put out of abundance, then it doesn't come to the church. It goes to China. And so anyways, just as a reminder, Tuesday's the last day for that. And they're going to be heading out in a little less than 3 weeks. So that's pretty exciting. We're just going to wrap up with some Q&A. We're not going to sing any more songs. That'll just kind of be the end from there. And so, Jason, if you want to come up and if you have questions, just throw out your questions and then we'll wrap up from there. So.
Hi again. So, there's a few questions that I typically get because we've done this several times. So the first one we get usually is how can we help? So definitely prayer. Prayer is huge. So for Ben and Michelle right now, the government came to them about 3 to 4 months ago and said, hey, we're tearing your building down. We're going to build a road through your house. And so obviously there's a little bit of panic that comes with that. And so they started really praying about it. And really it's been a pretty unique ministry opportunity because he's getting to meet with the mayor of the city they're in pretty routinely. And at first the mayor was kind of like, you know, stay away from me kind of thing. But now over the last few months, he's really been able to build up a relationship. And now the mayor has been pretty actively involved and try to help them find a new home. So there's fundraising that goes along with that. And so, Just be prayer for their financial needs and as they're kind of raising money to build a new home and a new building and new land. The government is helping some financially, which is good. That's pretty unheard of, right? And so that's a really good step, but there's still obviously some gaps that they need to fill there. So prayer is a big one. Then, of course, there's the financial needs that always go along with these ministries. For Starfish, very similar. They're just lots of prayer. They're growing. And there's also UN pressure. So the United Nations has basically come in and made it more difficult with new sanctions and things of that nature in China on kind of ministry groups and what they can and can't do. And so as they're navigating the political climate and what they can and can't do in China, there's new things there. So lots of prayer for them. For Starfish as well, I'm obviously not very good at selling jewelry, but if you are good at selling jewelry, it's kind of like a Tupperware party kind of thing where they have jewelry parties for women. And so if you want to be able to, if you think you are capable of hosting one of those parties where we can, Camel and I can help get the supplies and get the materials, and get that into your hands, and you can kind of host these dinner parties where we talk about Starfish and kind of promote their products. I think that's really good. Also, if you think if you're really, really interested, you can actually help us by, visiting local jewelry chains here and kind of promoting the Starfish brand and make new distributors here, even in the El Paso area, that sell the Starfish product. So those are ways that, if you're more business savvy than I, maybe you can help out. So with that, I'll open up the floor to other questions, comments, thoughts. No, we don't. And the reason is because it's not needed anymore. There's a website that they have called Taobao, and Taobao is like Amazon, and you can buy Bibles off Taobao. So what happened is probably 15 years ago, somebody very ingenious basically said, we're going to get all of our Bibles manufactured in China. And so they went to the manufacturing distributors and said, make, 10,000 Bibles or whatever it was. And so they made a lot of them, and then they couldn't buy them all or sell them all. And so then these distributors are kind of left with the inventory, and they sell them online. And so now you can buy Bibles off the internet in China. They will let you bring in 2 to 3 legally, but good question. What other questions? Yeah, so usually what we do is every time we go over, we ask Ben and Michelle what do you need, and they give us a laundry list. It's usually really random things like vanilla extract and peanut butter and just this slew of different vitamins and medicines. So usually we'll ask them what they need. We're in a unique situation this time because actually Ben and Michelle are in the U.S. right now. They're visiting for kind of doing their tour annually. And then they're going back. They are still needing our help to send some stuff, so they're giving us that list of what they need because they just didn't have enough suitcases for everything. Then books and children's school supplies are the other thing we usually take over. Good questions. What else? What other questions? That's a really good question. I don't know. For the Home of Hope, for sure. Like, we do pen pals with the kids. I've not heard of anything for Starfish, but that's a really good idea. I'll make sure I bring that up to her. They've just got to translate all of them. So the interesting thing about the girls is they're coming from different provinces in China, and some of them are very localized provinces where they don't even speak Mandarin. So Mandarin's the kind of the national language of the country, and some of these girls don't even speak Mandarin. They have to kind of learn Mandarin first thing when they come in so they can even communicate outside their local dialect. What other questions? So both. So the kids of Ben and Michelle are homeschooled. The Chinese kids go to public school. Public school in China is extremely difficult. It is, once you hit middle school, it's like 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. every night, and then you have homework, right? And you do homework till midnight, and then you go back to school by 7 a.m. kind of thing. So a lot of kids, once they hit middle school, they just stay at the school. They live in dorms on the school. Ben and Michelle supplement that with teachers. So they've got 2 or 3 teachers that basically come in. They have a classroom on site. So when they're doing homework, they do it like as a group, and then the teacher's there to help. So it gives them a little bit of an advantage over some of their classmates that aren't in Ben and Michelle's home because they've actually got like a private tutor that is helping them with their schooling, which is good because honestly, some of them, when they're coming out of situations where they weren't even going to school. So they've got a couple of kids that are 2 to 3 years behind their classmates just in terms of education. Mark, always asking the challenging questions. So I do use it. So when I like give presentations of who I am to people, so for those of you who don't know, I run a factory over down the street. And so when I first came and moved to El Paso, I had to present to 700 people, this is who I am and what my beliefs are kind of thing. And I use the Home of Hope and Starfish to basically say these are ministries that I really believe in and strongly support and go back once a year. And so that's kind of led to one-on-one conversations on the shop floor and discussing with people. And so that's been good. I have not had as much impact in the community as I'd like to with, like, Starfish, right? I think there's opportunities here we can really. So, again, if you're savvy at those kind of things, let's talk. Yeah, it's an excellent question. One of the things that I first struggled with when I met Ben and Michelle is kind of this idea that they're not true orphans, right? And so they've got living relatives, and so why do they have a need? And as I kind of got to know the kids, and Dove, there's a longer extended version of that video for the Home of Hope. If you're interested online, just go to Home of Hope China and you'll find the video. But on the extended version, they go to a grandparent's house and you can see the conditions that they're in, right? So they went to one grandmother's house and she was living on, a bed of corn husks. That was her bed. It was just a pile of corn husks. And everybody who sees the video, they immediately ask me, how old is that lady? Because she's like 150 years old. And so they're rescuing people from situations where, like, grandparents are eating bark off trees. So the law in China is that if you have any living relative, even if it's like a great aunt once removed, you're not adoptable. And so there is technically no program in the Chinese government for those kids. The idea there is that the relatives should take care of those children. So Ben and Michelle have kind of set up a support of that and saying, okay, we will take those children and help. There is definitely more need. Every couple weeks or so, the government comes to them and says, hey, we have a list of kids. We think you should go look at this kid. And so then they spend a lot of time in prayer. They go visit the kids in the situation, see what's going on, see who's really there to support, who's not there to support, and then they make a decision on who to bring in or not. There have been a couple times where, I'll be honest, I've disagreed with Ben, where I've thought, because we talk weekly, so he's constantly kind of walking through these things together with me, and there was a situation where I felt like the parents had enough resources to really take care of the kids, and he had kind of said, no, but I really feel like God is calling us to take these children. Like, there's something special about them, and we need to take them. And so he's really, really relying on the Holy Spirit to kind of guide them on what kids they should take in and which kids they should kind of leave to their families raising. So it's a really tough decision. I mean, you can imagine saying no to any kid that is in need would be difficult, right? And so he's kind of has a fine line to balance there. I think he would like to grow to 100 kids if he could, just because they know that there's that many out there that need help. For true orphans, like kids that are abandoned and things of that nature, there are more government programs and orphanages set up that kind of take care of that piece as well. So right now it's the fact that the government's going to tear their house down. I'll be honest, the house that they're looking at building is very nice. Nice in size, not nice in, like, extras. But it would take about $2 million to build this house, but theoretically could house, 100 kids plus. So they're really in prayer about it. They're really kind of looking at what it would take to do that. And, when you hear as an American $2 million, you're like, wow, that's a lot of money for 100 kids kind of thing. But in reality, it's just because it's like building a house in New York City, right? Like, it takes more resources because it's a city and land is more constrained and things of that nature. And so they're having to fight through that as well. So it's at the end of the day, it's financial. No, their oldest is 15. And so when they're 18, they won't kick them out. It's like a parent, right? So they'll kind of raise them and try to encourage them to go get careers and college and et cetera, et cetera. But their idea is, every Chinese New Year, they come home for Chinese New Year and visit with them. And they're always there for them if they need them. So they're their parents, right, for all intents and purposes. But they are going through teenagers. So the three boys, when I first met Jackson, their oldest, he was 11, 10, 10. He's 10. So, yeah, tall. Now when Jackson walks by on the video, when I'm talking to Ben, it's like, hey, Ben, there's a man in your house. I don't know if you know. And so it's really interesting to see them grow. And so that's, Jackson's the oldest of all the kids. And so then the next oldest is like 6 months younger than Jackson. Another boy, and then there's four or five girls about the same age, and I mean, they face all of the things you face with teenagers, right? So drama, and like, he doesn't let dating happen inside the family, right? Just because of heartbreak and concerns of that nature. So it's an interesting dynamic he's got going on. Most of the staff at the other Home of Hopes is actually children that grew up, went to school, and then came back to work for the Home of Hope. So to kind of pass it on, pay it forward. Ending on Mark, woo. Yeah. So there's lots of political layers in China. It's just like the U.S. It's very, I don't know their names. I can find out, though. But it's very bureaucratic. So they go through all the red tape that, you know, we go through here, but in Chinese, right? So it's doubly difficult. The mayor was very troublesome. The civil affairs office is the office they work with the most, and they can be troublesome. Ben and I had a conversation 2 months ago when all this was starting to happen, and the kind of discussion we had was, let's pray for him, right? Let's really pray for this mayor, because this guy was just really keeping at arm's length. It was basically like, I don't want to help you. You know, I don't have time for you. He set up several meetings with Ben, and then Ben would show up, and the guy would be like, no, I'm too busy, right? Just kind of really playing games with him. And then all of a sudden, after Ben would go for a run every day, and every day he would run by the mayor's office, and he would like stop and like raise his hands and pray over the mayor in the office and then keep going. And after like, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 weeks of this, then the mayor started calling him, right? And saying, hey, been thinking about you, found an opportunity, found a place that might be good. I've got you in touch with this person and that person, and really stopped being a barrier and started clearing barriers. So it's been really neat to see how they've started to have an influence on the local government there. Ben has multiple times played basketball on the government's team. So the government has like a basketball team, and he goes and plays basketball with them. It's just an opportunity to get to know him. And it's a little bit difficult because Ben's super aggressive on the basketball court. So he says he's constantly like fighting. He's because he's from the Midwest, right? Where basketball's super aggressive. So he's. So he's constantly fighting the flesh versus the spirit and representing on the basketball court. All right. Thank you, everybody.
If you guys have more questions, or I just like hearing Jason speak Chinese, so chat with him afterwards. He'd love to catch up on more stuff. So let's just pray again. God, thanks for this time. I pray that you would grow each one of us in faith, in our trust in you, because you are so powerful and so trustworthy. Continue to bless our fellowship and just our conversations with each other. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.